broken down.
Blog Talk Radio.
Living life on the merry-go-round, and you can find a fighter by sitting you, so we can walk it out. We gon' walk it out. Ooh, all day. And
and it's time to do it one more time. Good evening. Good afternoon, and hello to all of you folks across the country and around the world. You've tuned in one more time to Grassroots Talk, hosting this phenomenal show called When Numb Is Not Enough, orchestrated and taught to us by my friend and colleague, Dr. Tametra Clark. And before we go, because there won't be any interruptions tonight, the segment is too short. My show is brought to you by Flashback Academy. Find out more about Flashback Academy as we help veterans and former foster care youth get off of the street, learn a marketable trade, and get some work experience. It can't get no better than that, other than listening to Dr. Clark now as she helps you heal from those losses and the pain and the grief that you may go through when you're suffering and not understanding what tools do you need to get through. Dr. Clark, can you help us out today?
Good evening, everyone. Good to be back with you again so that we can continue the conversation about when numb is not enough. And so we have been for the last few months now, talking about this whole phenomenon about grief and about loss and various types of losses that we experience and just the different types of impacts that we might feel as individuals. And so we want to kind of keep that going. And I thought that we could revisit one that keeps coming up here often over the last few weeks. And that's loss related to what we feel when we have lost employment. We know that during this pandemic over the last, 2.5 years now, that we have experienced a whole lot of that around our country, and it has impacted people in ways that they have not experienced before in their lives, and me included. I'm no different than anyone else. And it seems like during this time of the time that we've been in the pandemic, it has happened more and more often. You'll lose one position and then you'll get another position and then you lose that position. And it's like before you can even process the one that you just lost and then be able to get used to the one that you gained as a result of, you're losing that one. And so that kind of compounds those losses again, right? And it starts making things a little complicated when they start coming back to back like that. And so I thought that we might just spend a few minutes this evening talking about what that feels like and why is it considered loss, and is it okay that we go through a grieving and mourning process when loss shows up in that way. And so to answer the question, is it okay to grieve when I've lost my job? Absolutely. Because along with that job came relationships. Depending on how long you were on that job, right? And if we enjoyed doing that job, there are many factors that play into how we grieve when we have lost a job, just as there are many factors that come into play when we grieve the loss of a loved one. And so what made this start coming back around was like, for me personally, I've had a lot of this lately within the last maybe 4 months. I've had back-to-back losses with different types of jobs that I've been doing and assignments that I've been given that have ended. And I have to ask myself, am I feeling some kind of way about this? And so with this most recent one, sometimes we find ourselves in jobs and positions that are just not good fits, right? But because of who we are as people and our character, and we like to move in a place of integrity, we don't want to hurt the person's feelings, or we don't want to hurt the employer's feelings or make the employer feel bad because it's just not working out for us. So we allow ourselves to stay there. But we're not feeling good in the process of staying there. And then we're coming home every evening and we're wondering why we're starting to have headaches, or wondering why our stomach is hurting, or wondering why things just seem a little off, because we're not showing up as our true authentic self. So then something happens and we end up losing that job. And we feel some kind of way. We still feel a little hurt behind that. We still feel some grieving behind that, even though we know in our hearts that was probably the best decision that could have happened to us. And so when those moments come up, it's okay to allow yourself to still go through those processes, because remember, out of every loss, there's something to be learned and there's something to be gained from that experience. So I would encourage you to look at what went on in that space and do a reevaluation of self and see what good can come out of this loss that I've just experienced from this atmosphere and this environment that I was in. Mr. Brown, can you see that?
Absolutely. In America versus some cultures, if you're in another country and you ask somebody, what do? You're actually insulting them. However, here in America, we sometimes judge people, or we feel as though we are defined by the career that we have chosen or that has chosen us. And I'm sitting here looking at an email that came through a few seconds ago, and it said, I feel like my job was who I am. It defined me. Mm-hmm. Now that I lost the job, I've lost who I am as a person. Can you expand on that?
Absolutely. A lot of times, I'm so glad that question came up, because oftentimes we do define ourselves by our job. Why is that? Because it's a relationship. It's just like a husband and wife, or a couple that's been together for years. They start to define themselves as that other person, or define themselves within that person, and they lose their own sense of self. We have a tendency to do that when it comes to our jobs. When people start to ask us, who are we? We immediately start giving a description of our job and those things that we do on our job. But the task and the assignments and the things that we're given in our jobs are not who we are. And so, yes, when we become detached from that and when we no longer have that label, it becomes a moment where we now have to redefine who we are. That's why I say take time to sit with that and now discover who you are in this new space of being, because now that label and that environment that you conducted yourself under, that you characterized yourself under, that you gave yourself these labels and adjectives and descriptions under, are no longer there. And now you're left with just the man in the mirror. And so now you have to redefine, well, who is this man in the mirror? You were a person. You were something before that job. So let's get back to who you were before that. Now, maybe that job was fulfilling and it helped you to identify some goals and aspirations maybe that you had for yourself. And who's to say that you still would not have had those goals without that job? But you may have gotten to them in a different way. And so, Okay. Yes, we do define ourselves by what we do, but now you have to get to know yourself in a different way.
Doctor, I'm going to take this to an extreme now, but it's true. As you know, we are living longer in America. And I'm not so sure that society is keeping up with understanding that. We see 50, 60, and 70-year-old folks out there still on the grind trying to punch a clock or be productive enough. One of my neighbors works at Walmart, okay? He's 74 years old, and he's bagging groceries. I don't look down on him. Matter of fact, I'd probably do it too. But even in myself, there are certain jobs that I can't do anymore or would like to do and could probably do them, but the employer sees me as being too old when in other countries, we know we're talking to people around the world, in other countries it's such an insult that we don't value the contribution of those who have come before us. And so therefore we're left to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. But when we talked about the grief and loss, and then I'm going to throw it back at you, is I'm upset. I'm disappointed. I'm feeling grief and the pain, not so much physically, but of getting old and not being able to contribute, not just to be contributing to society, but I can't even afford to put a roof over my head because things are too high and nobody's giving me a shot. Can we address this for me, or is this a little bit too out of our scope tonight?
Well, it is definitely a societal thing. Again, remember I said that society tries to put these parameters on us as to how long we can grieve and how much time you need. They give us 3 days, but they like to tell us how long we can work as well, right? They like, the society tells us that at the age of, I don't know, whether it's 65, 68 or something, that you are eligible for retirement. Well,
you get a watch and all of a sudden you're gone.
Yeah, who determines that? I have a girlfriend of mine whose mother is 78. She's still teaching. She said maybe she'll retire when she's 80. Because she's alive, she's spunky, she enjoys the kids, and guess what? She doesn't have problem kids. Why? Because she gives them good old down-home love and attention in the classroom, which is what society
carries.
Is that what? I'm sorry?
Does that mean that she carries a switch to class?
She doesn't carry a switch to class. She carries the wisdom that a lot of our youngsters are missing, that the classroom is missing when it comes to relating to our children. Yes, we want to get younger people in there because they should have new ideas and they should be able to do more innovative things. But sometimes it's the older ones that can bring what's been missing from the new ones, because all the new ones know is the modern stuff, the quick, fast, easy microwave things. But when you have some of the tenured, now some of the tenured ones, Lord bless their souls, do need to go on. But you have some that are there for the right reason, and our children learn better, right? So then when they're removed from the classroom, that's a loss all the way around for our children, because they're no longer getting those pearls of wisdom that they would have been getting. That helps to continue to set their foundational and their socio-emotional intelligence that they need to know to get them to the next level in their lives.
Okay.
So, yes, we have these parameters put on us by society in every genre of life, in every dimension of wellness that we have. But that's where we have to be comfortable with who we are. And if one door closes, use that as an opportunity to create something new and to create something different that's going to be beneficial for where we are right here and right now.
Well, that helps heal a little bit. I hope some of my older folks that may be listening today, or if they can pass that on to their grandparents, that there is still hope. Sometimes there's a word in something called the rite of passage. Those of you who don't know what it is, look it up. The bottom line is to know history well enough so that you don't have to repeat the same mistakes that were made before, such as the pandemic. We're not going to go down that road right now. However, it's very important for us to still feel like we're alive and we can contribute. And I think that there are many employers, if you're listening out there, you might want to give it a shot and take a look at some of the things that the older folks do bring to the table. You know, I was listening to a presentation of mine, and the only thing that I really noticed was that I spoke a little bit faster. I asked myself, well, what was I in a rush for? Because the information that I was passing then was still just as relevant today. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm still talking about flashbacks as the number of homeless people are growing, and those people also are dealing probably with some levels of grief because they lost some things. So, doctor, is there anything that we can do for the man or the woman on the side of the road? Any recommendations? Because we got to stop acting like we don't see them, because they are there, and those are precious souls that have gone through something that have put them in a position where they're outside tonight. Anything?
Well, they're definitely dealing with loss, right? And they're definitely dealing with grief. They don't have roofs over their heads, so they've lost their shelter. They don't have steady incomes, a lot of them, so they've lost their means of providing. They have lost, in some cases, their sense of self, because not everyone that's homeless is homeless because it's their choice. They're homeless due to circumstances. And you have some very intelligent people who have now, because of the pandemic, found themselves in these situations where they are homeless. And so we as a society and as a community have to get together to restore a sense of self in them, help them see, you know, the brighter side. We can't be afraid to approach them and to meet them where they're at. A lot of times we think of homeless, we think of nasty, we think of dirty, we think of smelly, we think of ooh, I don't want to be around them, I don't want to touch them, because that's the image that we see. And you never know. It might be the person that's sitting next to you at the desk at the office that's homeless, but you wouldn't know that when they leave work, they're going and they're getting in their car, they're picking their kids up from school, and their car is their home.
Keep it real. Woo!
And so we can't necessarily say it's the smelly person, it's the stinky person, it's the person that has tattered clothes, and it's the person that comes in here that doesn't have any shoes on. None of those things matter. What matters is that these people are in a state of grief and loss, and they, too, need to feel that they have a support system that they can go to so that they can start working themselves through these stages of grief and these stages of loss. And that's where we have to do better as a community to support our homeless population.
Yeah. So as Dr. Clark continues to help us get ours together, I'm going to revisit that question one more time, because you helped us better understand the picture of what we are seeing or who we're looking at, the person next to you in the cubicle, or the person who's taking your order at the fast food place. Little do we know that they could be going through it. So my answer, as a society, we need to come together. And unfortunately, in the past, what we used to do, we used to go to our churches, and our churches, we would rally to address certain things that were happening in our community to try to look at helping make things better. I'm reminded of even the boycott where the buses continued to run, but we refused to get on them because we were being treated like second-class citizens. Well, eventually, that got overturned because we rallied together as a church and as a community. So I do challenge folks, you know, let's look outside our little comfort zone, because many of us are not too far away from being in the same boat of the people that we pass up on the street. So I challenge you, listen carefully to the chosen words that Dr. Clark is sharing with you so that you can get a better grip on yourself. Because we know sometimes you got to help yourself before you can help others. Because in our country, there is some help that's needed. And in a lot of places around the world, too. Sorry for taking up too much of your time, but this is a very powerful topic to me as an elder who wants to continue to tribute until my last breath. Me and the veterans that do work together, we call it, we're just taking on one more mission, which is, again, trying to save America. But we can't do it if our heads ain't in the right places. So we do appreciate what you share with us, Dr. Clark, and we're living and breathing on every word, which means I need to stop talking and continue to listen to you. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. Again, my pleasure to be with you. And I, my prayer is always that there is something said that can encourage someone who finds themselves in this journey of grief and loss, whether it be from personal loss of a family member or a friend or whoever a loved one might be, or if it comes from, you know, a job, if it comes from a pet, if it comes from, you know, you lost your favorite piece of jewelry, whatever that loss might be, I my prayer is always that there's something that's said that can turn a light bulb on and help us to want to deal with it and want to move forward from it. Because sometimes we feel like this is better not to just face it. Oh, it'll just go away. If I just keep going to my day-to-day thing, it will eventually go away, like the season, right? It'll go from summer, it'll go from spring, it'll go to winter. But no, it's not. And what happens, it actually just kind of lays and waits for that moment to hit us like a Mack truck. And then we don't have the coping skills to be able to deal with it. So I'm hoping that during our conversation, and I know that they get heavy, and so I encourage you, as I'm giving the closing remarks, to just take a few deep breaths in and let them out and kind of shake off some of the heaviness that I know can come from sometimes dealing with this topic. But it's so relevant, and it's not going to go away, because where we are in life and in society and as a country, as the world today, it's not going away. We now have a whole other issue of loss with the whole Ukraine issue. That's another issue of loss that we have to deal with.
Tell me about it. Before you do your closing remark, I do want to address two pieces. For those of you who need to call in, 319-527-6090, pass that on to a friend. Those of you who want to find out more about Flashback, write at flashbksllc@gmail.com. And, Doctor, can you please share with our audience where they can learn or take a class, maybe have a private consultation to kind of get them on the right track to figure out which is best for them, whether it be in a group setting or one-on-one. And I think that may help them, because this has been probably one of our more powerful shows, but they aren't any good if they don't reach anybody. I mean, it helped me, but we know it's not about me. The world does not revolve around me. We want to help somebody else. So where can they find you? Well, it's gotten a little quiet again. We hope we haven't had further technical difficulty.
I didn't know that you couldn't hear me. www.rotm.la. You can also call at 818-646-6608. And then you can also go to info@rotm.la, and you can find out all the contact information there.
Outstanding. Well, I guess it's that time for closing remarks, and fasten your seatbelt, take a couple of notes, folks, and get ready for it next Saturday at 8 a.m. For those of you obviously across the way, that's 3 hours ahead. Set your watches accordingly, get your coffee, and get ready to go.
Our closing remarks as you take your deep breaths in. Sometimes I wonder, does laughter have a place in my healing? Laughter cleanses my soul and mends my heart. It connects me to the world around me. When I allow myself levity, I discover I am alive. So until next time, give yourself room to grieve. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Dr. Clark. Ladies and gentlemen, this song is for you.
When the world has come. together as one.
Thank you.